This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday, and what a chance for Oregon State tomorrow. Opening up Pac-12 play down on the road against USC, where they have not won a game in a few years. It's been a while since Oregon State's gotten a win down at USC. Joining us now is the voice of the Oregon State Beavers, our good friend Mike Doc Parker at MEPOSU on Twitter. Give him a follow. Doc, how are we feeling about this game tomorrow? I mean, it's been a long, long time since they've won down in Los Angeles, and it feels like there's optimism, and it feels like it's a great opportunity early in the year for Jonathan Smith.
Trying to change things up a little bit, guys. I know over the years I've had a hard time referring to you, my young friends, as Dirt and Sprague. Doc's a little bit easier. Andy, Brandon. But I'm just trying to change things up. I'm just going to say, Dirt, thanks for the question. It's okay. A good one. And I do think an opportunity presents itself. I've been down there. I've been part of the 24-game losing streak in the Coliseum, 24 games over a 61-year period. The Beavers have only won twice in that stadium ever, 1935 and 1960. That's it. So it's time to change that, and I think it's one of the best times and opportunities they've had in that stretch.
Well, I told Doc on a text when I asked him to come on the show, I said, smells like victory this week. And he says, I do agree.
Now, feeling good.
Doc, look, the Purdue game is still a little heartbreaking because there's a lot of people, and I'll put myself in this category, that feels if chance starts, maybe that game is a different outcome, but they lost it. So they're 2-1 in non-conference play, but Nolan is their quarterback. It's clear as day. What have you noticed their last two games? I know the opponents weren't great, but what did you notice about that offense with Chance and kind of just – what the difficulties he presents to the USC defense going down there with his kind of dual threat ability.
Right, and part of it too is the intangible that USC also, you know, people are looking at USC situation too in a similar light, in that Jackson Dart comes off the sideline and after a little bit of a rocky start throws for 391 yards and four touchdowns, and a lot of people in the USC camp, well, why didn't you play him earlier? You know, maybe you beat Stanford if he's the guy. But Keaton Slovis, an excellent quarterback, dealt with some physical injuries, some shoulder injuries last year, and isn't maybe quite as physically sound as he was when he was really solid in 2019. So in the Oregon State camp, you know, people, the only thing I question, and it's not so much a question, and I think, you know, when Jonathan selected Chance Nolan to come off the bench out of the bullpen at West Lafayette, had he pulled that trigger a little earlier, a series or two earlier, you know, maybe it would have made a difference. A lot of people have watched the two quarterbacks operate and wondered how Neuer won the job with Nolan coming on strong late. But Sam won the job. I don't think the coaches were simply saying, well, we owe it to the transfer. They watched the entire camp and made a choice based on what they saw and went with Sam Neuer, and Sam clearly struggled at Purdue. So had they gone to the bullpen a little earlier with Chance, maybe the outcome would have been different. But the thing that's happened, and it happened with USC last week, the rallying around of a guy. Guys really, you know, Jonathan talks about that intangible, not only the running and throwing ability and presenting more challenges, as you suggest, Brandon, to or Sprague, I should say, as you suggest, for the USC defense. But there's just also a spark with him, and guys have really rallied around playing for him. He fires people up, guys rally around him on the sideline, and that's hard to quantify. It's hard to measure. That's what USC had in Pullman. And in a sense, they have to kind of work back now. And, oh, well, it's Keaton again, it looks like, with a meniscus tear, apparently. I mean, that's all in all the reports that Dart is out. USC hasn't officially confirmed it, but I'm accepting that report as valid. So USC has to kind of come back around to, oh, well, we still like Keaton, too. You know, when they got the spark from Dart, that there may be a little bit of diminishment in some of that enthusiasm in the SC camp. But for Todd Orlando's defense with Chance Nolan, there is much more to prepare for. And I think the Oregon State offense provides a lot of things to prepare for when it comes to Chance Nolan, when it comes to the Jack Coletto hammer package, when it comes to 11 different receivers catching balls last week, 6 different running backs running, tight ends catching. I think Jonathan's offense is beginning to click at the right time.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big challenge this weekend on the road at USC. Flipping that to the other side, we're talking with Mike Doc Parker, the longtime voice of the Oregon State Beavers. On the other side, I mean, you mentioned we know the injury news with Dart. It's kind of strange that I like Oregon State's chances better for some reason with Keaton Slovis being the guy just because of that spark that you speak to that Dart gave them up in Pullman last week. But I think Oregon State's defense, I mean, that first game they played great and then they just kind of wore down as the game went on because they were on the field so much. The offense wasn't helping them. And then you get, not too hard of a test against Hawaii and Idaho, but they look the part at least against inferior teams the way that you're supposed to. How do you think the defense is ready for this challenge? Because the one thing we know about USC is they can spread you out. They got all these pieces. They can sling the ball down the field. They can score points with the best of them. Do you think the defense is ready for this challenge?
It's a big one, no question. The defense is better. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they have 26 tackles for losses. They have 7 sacks, 5 interceptions already. I mean, those numbers are trending in a much better direction. Again, the competition isn't as stout, but they were very good against Purdue in terms of the run game. USC, I know everybody talks about Graham throwing it around, Graham Harrell, and they do, but in the loss to Stanford, and then this is something to keep in mind, even in the loss to Stanford, they did rush for 185 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're capable. Now, last week, down 14-0, needing a spark. I mean, they threw it all over the field. But Vavai Malapai rushed for 101 yards against the Beavers 3 years ago. He rushed for 94 in that Stanford game. So I know they're going to want to sling it around, but if Slovis isn't quite right physically, and I think that's been one of his issues, I think the Beav defense has got to be prepared not only for Drake London and a bevy of talented receivers. They've got to be ready, I think, for Graham maybe to lean a little bit more on the run game, which can be productive, and a little curveball. I remember the Beavers played Stanford a few years ago, and everybody was talking about how David Shaw is going to huddle up. He's going to play 2 or 3 tight ends. We'll see a fullback in almost every possession. They'll go under center. And Shaw comes out and was running tempo and zone read early, and the Beavers didn't really respond well to it. I think Tim Tibisar's defense has got to be ready for Harrell to look to run it a little bit more Saturday night.
You know, Doc, my co-host and I, back in the day, we went down to a Corvallis game, and it was a similar feel and situation of, hey, USC's got an interim coach who went by the name of Ed Orgeron and ended up winning a national championship. And we went down. It was a night game. We thought Oregon State could do this. Who's Ed O? Well, Ed O ended up being okay. USC ended up running away with that one, and they hoisted him on their shoulders in the post game. So I don't want to get too ahead of the coaching matchup per se, with Dante Williams filling in now with the fired Clay Helton. What does this win, though? If Oregon State can get this game, what does this mean for their season, for this program?
Gigantic, Doc. And I remember that game well, too. And part of, I think, the Beavers this year are dealing a little bit with the same phenomenon that Orgeron and the Trojans, they had lost, as you remember, 3 straight to the Beavers. I mean, in the long history of the series, USC's won 36 of the last 40 in the series, 36 of 40, and they're 63-11-4 all time. So wins come in frequently against USC. In that 13 game, they had lost 3 in a row, and the last time they came, Lane Kiffin's team got beat 36-7. So Ed O, in a brilliant rhetorical manner. He was the interim guy that everybody rallied around, and a lot of people felt he should have gotten the full-time job, and the players were playing for him. And, you know, they thumped the – I remember the dancing. You remember that, Brandon? Mm-hmm. They're dancing on the field going to the fourth quarter. It was one of the more embarrassing, frustrating nights I felt in all the year. I mean, just to look at them doing that, and I know you're USC, but you're – but that night was a huge win, and they put so much in on it. Dante Williams has a similar thing going on, I think, now. The early days of, you know, okay, we love this guy. We're going to rally around and play for him. So the Beavs are going to have to deal with that same type of energy. Dante bringing a team through the tunnel at the Coliseum for the first time after growing up 3 miles from there. I mean, it's a great storyline. Jonathan Smith also grew up in the L.A. area, too. So you got two young coaches bringing teams onto the field in a huge game for both. But for the Beavers, to get to your point, a win, first of all, ends that 61-year streak. And I think that is significant for fans. Maybe not for the, you know, I don't think B.J. Baylor's thinking a whole lot about that right now. But it's big, I think, just for the overall momentum and perhaps setting you up for the next two games after that against the Washington schools. You're home to the Huskies. You travel to Pullman. If you find a way to win this one and get over that hump and beat that talented team in their house with all the energy that they're going to have, I think it's kind of the ultimate convincer for all the players on the team, and I think a lot in Beaver Nation, too. It's a big game, and I think if the Beavers do win it, it sets up a huge one against the Huskies at Reser the following week.
Yeah, we know their end goal is to get to a bowl game, and it's hard to see that not happening if they are able to get a win on the road at USC this weekend. We can't wait to watch it. Pac-12 After Dark. Let's hope it doesn't get too weird and should be a fun one down in L.A. Mike, Doc Parker, we always enjoy it. At MEPOSU on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Doc, thanks as always for the time on a Friday. Have a great call tomorrow night, and let's see the Beavs end that losing streak, all right?
Let's do Dirt and Sprague, and it was good to be on with you guys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Talk to you again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.